The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum, and welcome to this program entitled Today's Special. You are listening to us from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about animal rights in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan.
for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Thursday, is the 3rd of Rabiul Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment by recitation of Surah An-Nahl, verse 7.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وتحمل أثقالكم إلى بلد لم تكونوا بالغيه إلا بشق الأنفس إن ربكم لرؤوف رحيم.
And they carry your loads to a land you could not have reached except with difficulty to yourselves. Indeed, your Lord is kind and merciful.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Quran points out to another of the advantages of animals in this noble verse. It implies that animals carry your heavy loads on their back going towards town and regions which you could not reach without undergoing tremendous troubles. This is a sign of mercy and compassion of Allah, who has created these four-footed animals with such tremendous strength and has made them tamed and submissive to you. Sympathy for animals. The concept of animal rights in the West has evolved slowly over the centuries, following much the same courses as that of children's rights. Both involve putting the welfare of a being who cannot explicitly complain over the direct monetary and social needs of the person responsible for them. Long before animal rights was incorporated in our contemporary world, Prophet Muhammad established extensive guidelines to treat animals. Before Islam, Arabs, like all ignorant and illiterate people, were very cruel to animals. It was very common in Arabia to put a ring around the neck of a camel, but this practice was stopped on Prophet Muhammad's order. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the rights of animals as explicated and indicated in Islamic teachings. Once someone asked the Prophet Muhammad wasallam regarding the religious reward of giving water to an animal, then the Prophet Muhammad wasallam explained that giving water, for example, to a horse, to a mule, or to a camel, makes the person who does it entitled to receive divine rewards. And it was indicated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pat on his own camel or horse, and he was kind not only to people, I mean to his family members, to his companions, to other people whom he met. Rather, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also very kind even to animals, I mean to the domestic animals, at home. Once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving food to his own horse. Then someone, one of his companions, approached him and asked him to do that job instead of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet Muhammad indicated in answer, reply to that request, answered that his friend, the Archangel Gabriel, had informed him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records the religious reward of doing a good job for any piece of food, however small, that a person gives to his domestic animal, and in that case, in that specific case, to the horse. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated that, a sin is removed from the profile of that person.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Ethics of treating animals in Islam. Reduction of tension and strengthening relaxation. If we accept that the animals, like human beings, have immaterial souls and enjoy a kind of understanding of and consciousness to what goes on around them, then we are obliged to adjust our behavior towards them in a way that may reduce their tension and negative emotions and give them back the lost peacefulness resulting from man's wrong exploitation of them. The Apostle of Allah entered the house of one of the helpers or Ansars in Medina, and there was a camel there. Upon seeing the Holy Prophet, the camel's eye filled with tears. The Holy Prophet went near it and cleaned its tears with his own hand. The camel calmed down. Then the Prophet said, "Who is the owner of this camel?" A young man came forward and said, "O Apostle of Allah, it's mine." His Holiness said, "Do you not fear God in the matter of this beast, which he has made you its owner? This camel has complained that you leave it hungry." Paying attention to this principle is so important in Islam that if the types of exploitation of the animal by man is essentially agitating, he is obliged to treat it in his utilization in such a way that would bring the anguish to the lowest level possible.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, "Please save me," except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yaquluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, yaquluha shafa'atan.
Why animals matter? Within the tenets of Islam are found strong support and guidelines for the protection and compassionate treatment of animals. Here is an example emphasizing the importance of treating animals in the same way as one would treat a human being. The Prophet Muhammad said, "A good deed done to an animal is as meritorious as a good deed done to a human being, while an act of cruelty to an animal is as bad as an act of cruelty to a human being." The Prophet Muhammad also said, "Whoever is kind to creatures of God is kind to himself." Allah condemns the mistreatment of animals. The Prophet Muhammad admonished against the bidding or the branding of animals and said, when he saw a donkey brand on its face, "May Allah concern the one who branded it."
Animals are communities like us. They do tasbih. They have ma'rifah of the hujjah of their time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses them to protect his awliya, to protect the messenger of Allah, to teach humanity. And in some cases, the Holy Prophet tells us that it was compassion towards animals that allowed certain people to attain salvation. If you show compassion to any living thing, there is a reward in it. There is another hadith where the Holy Prophet says, بَيْنَمَا كَلْبٌ يَطِيفُ بِرَكِيَّةٍ. There was a dog that was circling a well. Again, a thirsty dog, a stray dog. كَادَ يَقْتُلُهُ الْعَطَشُ. This dog was about to die of thirst. إِذْ رَأَتْهُ بَغِيٌ مِّن بَغَايَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. A prostitute from the children of Israel saw the dog. Now I want you to pause for a moment. Rasulullah says, a prostitute sees this. Now, this is someone who sells herself. Her earnings are all from what? From haram. Her earnings are not lawful. So she is a sinful person. This woman, you know, this is why it's important for us not to judge people. This prostitute from the children of Israel sees this dog and she feels sorry for the dog. The hadith says, فَنَزَعَتْ مُوقَهَا. She took off her shoes. She quenched the thirst of the dog. Rasulullah says, فَغَفَرَ لَهَا بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her. And he guided her because she showed compassion to this animal. You know, sometimes you do one deed. You show compassion to an animal and Allah gives you so much tawfiq. He opens the doors for you.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and to begin today we present you a bezel of wisdom from the Holy Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Riza, peace be upon him, and respect for parents. God punishes people for two sins in this world. injustice and ungratefulness towards parents.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We all wish to be those who are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to a special group of individuals who He as well has blessed with certain qualities. So this is something extremely important for us to realize. However, that those qualities are something that we have to gain. And it's a blessing to get them. And then on top of that blessing, there's an additional blessing of attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amongst those blessings, or amongst those qualities rather, there are a certain group of individuals who are most loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this tradition, we will see some of those qualities mentioned by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the Holy Prophet is reported to have said that the most beloved of Allah's servants to him are those that are the most useful to his servants. So here again, we've seen this in many other traditions, that servitude to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever way possible. Even if a person is unable to do it, but he puts himself out there, he makes himself available to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servants. You know, this is a person who is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person has been given the ability to serve Allah's servants by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore earning the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first. The second one is that, and the most persistent of those individuals in establishing the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain rights on us, as we mentioned many times, the right of obedience and so on and so forth. There are other rights. Obviously, those interested may refer to the relevant books on this. For example, the Sadr al-Huquq of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam is a good place to start. So that person who tries and continues to, you know, implement the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth is that person who is extremely loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last one that the Holy Prophet mentions in this tradition is that those individuals who endear themselves to virtue, that they want to attain virtue, they are after virtue, virtuous acts, or they want to have virtuous characteristics in themselves. For example, generosity, kindness, tranquility. Now, these are things that they like and they also wish to implement it in themselves. So therefore, the hadith is this, that the most beloved of Allah's servants to him are those that are the most useful to his servants and the most persistent of them in establishing his right and those who endure virtue and its practices. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to at least, if we can, one of these attributes we are able to attain. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then earning that status of being those who are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. The Quran is a book in which its beauty is confessed by even non-Muslim scholars. In this segment, we are going to listen to some quotes from different scholars about the Noble Quran. Hamilton Alexander Ruskin Gibb, 1895-1971, known as H.A.R. Gibb, was a Scottish historian on Orientalism. He wrote many books on history of Islam and Arabs. In his famous book, Islam, A Historical Survey, he wrote the following about the Noble Quran. The Meccans still demanded of him a miracle, and with remarkable boldness and self-confidence, Muhammad appealed as a supreme confirmation of his mission to the Quran itself. Like all Arabs, they were the connoisseurs of language and rhetoric. Well, then if the Quran were his own composition, other men could rival it. Let them produce 10 verses like it. If they could not, and it is obvious that they could not, then let them accept the Quran as an outstanding evident miracle. Now let's listen to the recitation of Suratul Qiyamah, verses 16 to 35, recited by Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا
تراقي وقيل من سرق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم, dear brothers and sisters in faith. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to the verses 16 to 35 of Surah Al-Qiyamah, recited by Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of tajweed. Okay, at the beginning, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Perhaps the most important rule of tajweed that we have in this verse is the tarqiq of the ra. تحرك, تحرك, ri, ri. The ra has to be pronounced with thinness. Okay? And in order to pronounce it with thinness, we give a kasra to the ra and we pronounce it thinly by moving the tongue downward, and the back of the tongue is not raised when pronouncing the ra. So we don't say tuharrik. Tuharrik is incorrect. Tuharrik. Tuharrik. Lisanaka lita'arjala bih. Okay, notice how in bihi, the word bihi, when we stop on it, the ishba' is not applied. Because when we do waqf al iskan, so no longer you need to do ishbar. Inna alayna jam'ahu wa quranah. Why does Sheikh Abdul Basit say quranah instead of saying quranah? This is because he's reciting in the qira'ah of Ibn Kathir. I don't know which riwayah it is, but I know that I'm pretty sure that this is the qira'ah of Ibn Kathir. Both riwayas, they pronounce Qur'ana, Qur'ana, without the Qur'ana, without the sukun on the ra. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ. Why did he do ishba'? قَرَأْنَاهُ. In Hafs, we don't do ishba' here. But in Ibn Kathir, ishba' takes place every single time that there is a ha'ud damir. Okay? Doesn't matter if before it there's a long vowel, if before it there's a sakin letter. No, ishba' takes place all the time. So minhu would be minhu in Ibn Kathir. Or, for example, عَلَيْهِ would be عَلَيْهِ, and so on and so forth. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَهُ. We have the غُنَّة of the noon and also the meem. They're both مُشَدَّد. كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةَ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةَ وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. Now in these two verses, verse 22 and 23, we have the difference between ضاد and وا. ناظرة, ناظرة. You see the difference? ضاد is pronounced with the side of the tongue, وا is pronounced with the tip of the tongue. And both have istirla, so both are pronounced with tafkhim. Wujuhun yawma'idhin basira. We have iqlab of noon sakina and tanween here. تظن أن يفعل بها فاقرة كلا إذا بلغت التراقية وقيل من راق. This is sect. Instead of saying من راق, we say من راق. We hold our breath on the noon sakina, and then without taking our breath, we pronounce راق. Okay, dear brothers and sisters, we ran out of time, unfortunately. We will analyze other great recitations by great reciters in future programs, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana abil qasim al mustafa muhammad. Wa ala ahli baytih al-tayyibin al-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. One of the beautiful and, you know, immaculate characteristics of the Holy Quran is that it appeals and it can, you know, catch the heart of any individual. It has the ability to do so, especially if that individual has the capability and the capacity to let the light of the Holy Quran enter into his or her heart. And as we've seen from our previous programs, this is the case, that those individuals who were seeking something or who had a clean heart and so on and so forth, the light of the Holy Quran very easily penetrated and caused such a revolution within these people that their whole life, you know, kind of went 180 degrees. One of the verses that we will see in the next few episodes that changed quite a few individuals, not only at the time just after the Holy Prophet, even in today's world, is the verse from Surah A'raf, verse number 31. This verse talks about eating and drinking, but also it says that eat and drink, yes, but do it in a way that you do not waste, you are not wasteful. Now, this could also mean, as some of the individuals who we will mention have taken it to mean, it does not mean obviously that is the actual meaning. What we give of the Holy Quran is a perception of the meaning that we have. The depths of the Holy Quran are something that we have to dive into, and hopefully it is a blessing that which we are given in enabling ourselves to understand the depths and the secrets of the Holy Quran. So in this verse of the Holy Quran, which is again, I repeat, Surah A'raf, verse number 31, that says, put on your adornment on every occasion of prayer and eat and drink, but do not waste. So this is that thing, that particular, you know, message of not being wasteful, eating sufficiently, drinking sufficiently, not doing too much, not going overboard or being gluttonous. So it is mentioned in one of the books that one of the scholars who was not Muslim heard this verse being recited by one of the qaris, or one of the reciters of the Holy Quran, in a particular gathering. And this verse caused such a change within him that he accepted Islam and became Muslim. As we mentioned, the Holy Quran penetrates the hearts of those who are seeking. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, at the specific moment opens the heart of that person so that the light can penetrate. And then this particular scientist that has been reported to have said this, or this particular scholar that has reported to have done this after hearing this verse of the Holy Quran, becoming Muslim, he says that this verse contains and encapsulates the principles and foundation of wisdom and medicine. And this is according to his understanding of the Holy Quran. And this one verse, because of his specific specialty and what he has learned in, which is probably medicine, he understands the concept of wastefulness, the concept of eating too much, and so on and so forth. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
The topic that we've been covering over the previous nights has been to look at the concept of justice and injustice. The Quran in Surah Hud, Allah Ta'ala describes Nabi Musa after having defended the oppressed as saying what? Oh my Lord, on account of how you have favored me with your blessings, I will never be somebody who is assisting and helping the people who are oppressors and the criminals. I'm never going to help them. So these are lessons for us. There's many others in the Quran as well too. But I want to give another example which comes from particularly from the Aqidah of Shia. You all know that one of the principles of our faith is Adl. We believe in the justice of God. And historically, the Shias have been known to be among the Adliyun, the people who always spoke out for the principle of justice. And one of the discussions that we come across when we're talking about justice is this question, that is justice something that's defined by God or is it defined by people? Meaning that is justice something that we can understand with our own intellect, or do we have to be given justice and told that this is justice by God? Now, somebody who looks at this in a very simple way, they might say that, okay, well, I'm a believer and I believe that everything comes from God. And therefore, justice should come from God as well too. Whatever God says is just, is just. And in a way, that is not incorrect. But it's not so, it's sort of looking at it and not looking at it in a very clear and intellectual way. And the real answer is that there is a principle and then there's an application. The principle of justice, okay, the idea that being just is good, and doing injustice is wrong, is something which our intellect can understand. We don't have to be told that by somebody else. because it's on that basis that we can understand many of the teachings of faith. But when it comes to specific applications of injustice, for example, right now, let's say the issue of abortion. Okay, is it the case that, you know, the mother has the right, for example, they say, over her own body or not? Or does the child have a right? And these type of discussions, sometimes, you know, it gets confusing. And that's why for the applications of many areas of justice or injustice, we have to get the guidance from God. But the principle in its essence is something which the intellect can realize. Now, why is this important? Historically, the people who didn't understand this and the people who didn't stand for this, they used this principle or the lack of it to justify their actions of injustice. For example, Yazid and Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, after the massacre that took place in Karbala, they justified what they did by saying, well, this is something which is okay because God let it happen. God appointed us as the lead ruler, and everything that God does is just, and therefore this is just as well. It's a silly argument. But if somebody doesn't have a strong intellectual basis and they're not able to understand that adl is and justice is something that the intellect can define, they might fall for it. Whereas somebody who's fair would say that, no, you can't use your position of authority to start, you know, mixing and try to justify your actions by using the religion. No, we have a standard for justice which goes beyond any teachings of the anything which is revealed from the religion, because the religion itself depends on that principle. And so Shias have always said that, no, you cannot come and redefine what justice is. Justice is something which the intellect can understand. So why am I saying this? Because historically, Shia Islam has always stood for this principle, which has always been there in the Quran. It's been there in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt as well. The idea that we have to have a response to just injustice and also the people of injustice as well. So when you go to the teachings of Islam in terms of interacting with the oppressors, there's many of them. And there's entire chapters of traditions which have been collected which talk about how one is supposed to deal with the oppressors. Historically, governments have been categorized as either being led by Hakim al-Shar or Hakim al-Jawr, meaning a leader who has proper Islamic authority, meaning the imam, or somebody appointed by the imam, or somebody who derives authority from the appointment of the imam, or somebody else who's occupying that position of leadership without having the right to do so. And on that basis, there's been many, many traditions. For example, you know, there's a famous story of Safwan ibn Jamal. Safwan was, his occupation was that he used to rent out camels to people for different purposes. And he lived at the time of Harun al-Rashid, the Khalifa, and he was a companion of our seventh Imam, alayhi salam. And one time, Safwan ibn Jamal, he rented out camels to Harun. Harun was going for Hajj, and then, you know, he wanted to, so he, like, let's say maybe hundreds of camels, and he rented it from him, and, you know, they made a contract, and then, Harun went for Hajj. Now, Safwan, when he next went to see the Imam of his time, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, the Imam tells him that, Safwan, everything you do is beautiful, but there's one thing that you do that I'm not happy with. So he tells him, what is it? You know, Safwan was really a pure companion. He really wanted to do the right thing. So Imam alayhi salam tells him that, so you rented out the camels to Harun. He says, yes. He says that, okay, well, now that you've done that, right, Safwan says, is there any problem in doing so? Because after all, you know, he's going for Hajj. It's not like he's using these camels to go and, let's say, form an attack against, like, the oppressed Shias or something. He's just going for Hajj. So it's not like I'm helping him and assisting him in his oppression. But the Imam alayhi salam asks him a question. He says that when you, right now, in your situation right now, are you anticipating and looking forward to the time that Harun will come back and give you the money that is due to you, because he's going to pay you once he comes back? He said, yeah, I do want that to happen. So the Imam al-Islam asked him, that, so does that mean that right now you have a desire for Harun to be alive? You actually want him to continue existing? And Safwan says that, yes, I do. So the Imam al-Islam says that that feeling in your heart that you have towards him itself is enough to be a cause for someone to enter into the fire of hell. Okay, now this is important, right? Meaning that even the attitude, the acceptance, the tolerance, like the feeling, these are things which, you know, need to be examined. This is the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt. They would say that if somebody gives some ink to an oppressor to be able to then write something that would be a cause of oppression, like for example issue a decree, then they take part in the oppression that that oppressor is going to carry out. And many other traditions which forbid in any way coming to assistance of the oppressors.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to the show Back to Reality on IRIB English Radio. With me today are two of my lovely brothers. I would like them to introduce themselves. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. My name is Dar from US.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Mohsin Naqvi.
Wa alaikum assalam. So thank you so much for being here. And the topic that we have today for discussion is a very recent, happening in the news. I'm sure you guys have probably heard about it. In the country of France, there was a teacher that was beheaded by an 18-year-old Russian